Okay, this week is a very special week. It's Erev Yom Tov Shabbos, Parshas Bamidbar, which is also Erev Shavuos. First, let's discuss what is the significance of Chumash Bamidbar. We have Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and this week we begin. Last week we had Shabbos Chazak. Chazak v'nis chazek, and now we begin a new chumash. How do we separate? How do we understand the nature, the unique nature of chumash tavarim? I came across something very interesting. It's new to me. Okay, this idea is new to me that it's not a balaturim, but I'm not sure who says this idea. It sounds like something you would expect to see in the balaturim, but in the beginning of Ma'ase Bereishis, on the first day of Ma'ase Bereishis, Hashem said, "Vayomer Elokim yihi or." Vayihi or, vayar lukim esu or, ki toiv, vayavdel lukim bein ho or uvein achoyshech, vayikro lukim lo or, yoyim velachoyshech koro loyla, vayavavoka yom echad. Five times does it say the word or in Ma'ase Bereishis on the first day of Ma'ase Bereishis. And everything in Ma'ase Bereishis, of course, alludes to everything that's going to happen. I don't know where it says this, I assume it's a medrash, is that the five times that it says the word or in Ma'ase Bereishis alludes to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Because Torah is a kiner mitzvah, the Torah or. The Ferish Apostolic Torah is called Or. We have Or. We have five forms of Or. Each one corresponds to one of the Chamishei Chumshei Torah. That means that the expression Vayavdel Elokim Bein Ha'or Uvein HaChoshech corresponds to Chumash Bamidbar. Now let's go through the steps. The first Or is very simple. That responds to Chumash Bereishis. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. Let there be light. Chumash Bereishis is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing out his desire. Let there be light. The world is created. We have Noach, we have Adam, Noach, Avraham, the beginning of the creation of the Shiftei Kah. Chumash Bereishis ends with the creation, the formation of the Shiftei Kah. Let there be light. It's in its development. Klal Yisrael, the aura of the world is in its incipient stage. Chumash Shemos is indeed where it comes to fruition. Vayom Elokim Yihiar, Vayihiar. In Chumash Shemos is indeed where we will makabel the Torah. Torah was given, Vayihiar. And Klal Yisrael has been established. The Mishkan has been built. And everything is in full swing. Chumash Vayikra is where Klal Yisrael, it's a very positive Chumash Vayikra. It's the time when Moshe Rabbeinu teaches Klal Yisrael the bulk of the Torah. And Klal Yisrael more or less are operating, they're following, being Mekayim, the Torah, L'chol Peratecha, V'diktukecha, V'chavnasecha, and it's very good what the Pasuk says, Vayar Elokim Es Ha'or Ki Toif. But then comes Chumash Bamidbar. Chumash Bamidbar, it's not so simple. Chumash Bamidbar is where we come, we learn about the Mechet HaMeraglim is a time when Klal Yisrael was supposed to enter into Eretz Yisrael, but we have the Chet HaMeraglim, we have the Me HaMeriva, we have all of the major sins that were committed in the time of Klal Yisrael, and at this point in time there was a refining of Klal Yisrael. We find in Chumash Bamidbar, Chumash Bamidbar begins with the door of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, but Chumash Bamidbar ends with the door of the Bohei Haaretz. There is Havdalah. The nature of Chumash Bamidbar is that a Chumash whose essence is Vayavdel Elokim Bein Haor Uvein HaChoshech. We start with the generation that came out of Mitzrayim, but not everyone that came out of Mitzrayim is going to be zoiche to go into Eretz Yisrael. There's going to be Havdalah. There's going to be refinement. And not only, and that to a large degree is the theme of Bamidbar, a chumish of Vayav de Lukim Bein Ha'or Bein HaChoshech. But it does not chas shol mean anything negative, because Adarabah, when we have refinement, we have Havdalah, we have an intensity of Kedusha. Kol mokam she'atem moitzer geder erva, shom atem moitzer Kedusha. Anytime there is separation, there is differentiation, that enhances, that it brings a higher degree of Kedusha. So that's, again, that's just an interesting idea. And then the last expression is That alludes, I'm not exactly sure how that alludes to Chumash, but Devarim, but that alludes to Chumash. Okay, I just wanted to throw that out, that this is something very interesting. Five times they say the word R in Chumash Bereishit corresponds to the five Chamishim Chumashei Torah, and that means Chumash Bamidbar, which we're beginning this week, is the Chumash of Havdalah, Vayavdel Lukim Bein Or Bein Achoshach. And that also has very important significance for us, being that Bamidbar is usually, most of the time, and this year it is for us, at least in the Chutz Yaretz, the parsha that we read before we come to Shavuos. It is the Hakdama, the Hachana for the Yom Tif of Shavuos. Because Shavuos is the greatest Havdalah that there possibly can be. It is through Matan Torah that Klal Yisrael was separated, was Nivdal, to be the Am HaNivchar. The essence of Chumash Bamidbar is a Chumash of Havdalah. And the ultimate Havdalah, that incorporates all various forms of Havdalah. But the ultimate Havdalah is Klal Yisrael is Mivdal Bein Ha'am. That's what we say. That's what we say in the Havdalah Mitzvah Shabbos. Bein Or LaChoshech, Bein Yom HaShvi L'Sheish Shmei HaMaaseh, Bein Kodesh L'Chol, and Bein Yisrael L'Amim. Klal Yisrael is the highest level of separation, and that's very appropriate as a introduction to the Yom Tif of Shavuos. We're beginning a Chumash of Vayavdel Elokim Bein Ha'or Uvein HaChoshech. Chumash Bamidbar, we're coming to Havdalah. As a Hachana to Matan Torah, we recognize we have the gift of the Torah, and we indeed are unique, cannot be compared to the Umay Soilam. Okay, now along those lines, I came across something very interesting. Something we know that the Shabbos before Pesach, we have a special Shabbos. It's called Shabbos Hagadol. What is the Shabbos before Shavuos called, and what is the Shabbos before Sukkot called? So I saw in the Chassidish Sefer, I don't know where this comes from, but it sounds good anyway, where Hashem is called Hagadol, Hagibor, VeHanoira. And therefore it has to be that the Shabbos before Shavuos is called Shabbos Hagibor. And the Shabbos before Sukkot is called the Shabbos Hanoira. Now, does that now is there any logic to this? So I think there is something to this. Now Gadol, let's understand what is the deeper meaning of Gadol, Gibor, VeHanoira. We do not have to redefine the words, because we pretty much define these words every single day, three times a day. In the beginning of Shemona Esher, we define a Kadosh Baruch Hu with four terms. Hashem is Okel, He is Hagadol, He is Hagibor, and the Hanoira. And then the first bracha of the Shemona Esher goes on, Pshut Shel Mikra, goes on to explain the meaning, the deeper meaning of these four expressions, these four titles. When we say that Hashem is called a Kel, Kel literally means powerful. So the Shemona Esher goes on to say, when we said before Kel, Hashem is not just an ordinary Kel, Hashem is a Kel Elyoin, the uppermost, the most awesome power in this world. When it says Godol, the Shemona Esher explains, what is the essence of greatness? Greatness is defined in terms of giving. Goimel chasodim toivim v'koinei hakol. Greatness, we have in the pasuk in Shmuel, ubarzilai hagiladi ish gadol me'od. He was a very great person, and the pasuk go on to explain what was his greatness. He gave tzedakah. He supported an army. He supported many, many people. Greatness in Chazal, in Tanakh, is defined in terms of giving. The more you give, the greater you are. Hashem is called Gadol, which means He is defined as Goimel, He bestows, Chasodim, Tovim, Vikonei HaKol, and He creates everything. This is by bestowing kindness and creating, it is an expression of greatness. Next, when it says in the Shemona Esrei, Gibor, Hashem is mighty, what does that mean? It means, Zocher Chastei Ovois. Ezehu Gibor, HaKoivesh Es Yitzroi. When you withhold yourself, why does Hashem withhold Himself and does not punish us according to what we deserve. It's because of zuchus avos. It's the merit of our forefathers. That is why Kadosh Baruch Hu is gibor. He holds himself back. He's koivesh es yitzro. In whose merit is Hashem koivesh? Does he hold himself back and not punish us according to what we deserve? In the merit of v'zoicher chastei avos. What is the meaning of noira? Noira means Hashem is in the, continuously in the process of bringing redemption. Umevi goyel levnei v'nehem, Hashem continuously unfolds redemption. This is noira. The awesomeness of the Shparuch Hu is that he remembers everything in the past and he's going to bring the world to its plan, to its desired goal, and that represents the concept of geula. On the yomim noirahim, what is the ikur yom hadin? The ikur yom hadin, the Mefarshim say, is if the geula will come this year. We fool ourselves in thinking that the ikur yom hadin on the yomim noirahim and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is the ikur yom hadin. The ikur yom hadin is, will we make $100,000 or will we make $30,000? Will we be healthy or, rachmana litzlan, will we need to go to the doctor for refuah? That's not the only Yom Hadin on Rosh Hashanah. The Ikar Yom Hadin on Rosh Hashanah is, will HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring the Geula? The Yom Hadin on Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin, will the Geula come? The Mela, that's why it makes, and true, it does make sense that the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah is the Shabbos HaNoira. All of the events of the week are included in the Shabbos that precedes the week. And it, being that the week that's coming in Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin, and the Yom Hadin is Hashem is making a decision, will this year be the year when He will bring the Geula, will the Geula be unfolded? Mm-hmm. And Geula is defined in terms of Noira in the Shemoneh Esrei. When we want to define the word Noira, it is defined with the expression Umevi Goyel Levnei V'nehem. So therefore it makes a lot of sense that the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, which really Rosh Hashanah, and it's the entire season. It's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. It all leads in together. That Shabbos is called the Shabbos Hanoira represents Geula. If you want to say it refers to Sukkot, so Sukkot also represents the Sukkah Shel Leviyasan. If you want to say that, you want to focus on the Sholosh Shugolim and say Pesach, Shuas, and Sukkot. So Sukkot also, to some degree, represents Harachmi Yakum Lanu as Sukkas David Hanayfalas. It refers to the Geula, the Shabbos for the Geula. The Sukkot is the Shabbos of Noira. And what does that lead us with? The Shabbos Hagadol, we all understand. Pesach is called Shabbos Hagadol. Hashem was kind to us. He took us out of Mitzrayim. He has performed the ultimate chesed of taking us out of Mitzrayim. But now we have a greater understanding of the nature of the Shabbos before. The Shabbos before Shavuos. The Shabbos before Shavuos is called Shabbos HaGibor. What is Gibor? Gibor represents the concept of the Zoicher Chastei Avos. We trace back our lineage. Torah, part of the Mesorah of Torah is V'hoidatam Livonecha V'livnei Vonecha Yoim Asher Amadta Lifnei Hashem Elokecha B'chorev. The Iker principle of Kabbalah Satorah is not just a Kabbalah Satorah for yourself, but it's also to recognize that the Mesorah includes Mesorah. Torah includes tradition. We trace ourselves back on Matan Torah, back to the Zman of the Matan Torah, Vav Sivan, in the year when the Torah was given. Again, as the Pasuk in Beferish, V'idatim Levanecha, 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 Yom HaShemach, Levanecha, Levanecha, and we also have one of the Sheish Zechiris. One of the Sheish Zechiris is a person should not forget, Yom HaShemach, Levanecha, Levanecha, Levanecha. That's one of the six Zechiris. You have to remember that you stood before Kadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai. It's something which you cannot forget. And it fits perfectly in line with the theme of Parshas Bamidbar. Every year, what is the parsha that we read on the Shabbos of Hagibar, the Shabbos leading up to Shavuos? We read Parshas Bamidbar. What is Parshas Bamidbar? Where we trace our Yichus. It's the Shabbos of Yichus. Rashi says Beferish. Rashi says Vayisyaldo al Mishpachaisam. Hey, when Moshe Rabbeinu began to count the people here in Pasuk Yudches, in the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, Perek Al Pasuk Yudches, when Moshe Rabbeinu began to count Klal Yisrael, and he told everyone to come together, Vayisyaldo al Mishpachaisam. He viu sifrei Yichusehem ve'edei cheskas leidasam kol echad v'echad lehisyaches al hashevet. This parsha is the parsha of Yichus. It's the parsha of Yichus, where we trace our lineage back to our forefathers. V'zoicher chastei avos. Before you can come to Matan Torah, in this generation, in every succeeding generation, you have to come with the preparation, with the prerequisite of Yumakir, that you come from something greater. You trace your lineage back to the Zman of Matan Torah, you trace your lineage back to the Avos, and that is the essence, that is the major, major theme of this week's Parsha, Parshas Bamidbar. It's the Parsha, in fact, it's the Parsha of the Pikudim. The Pikudim means the counted, but Pikudim also means to be remembered. The Hashem Pokad Es Sarah. Pikudim means to remember. This Chumash is called the Chumash HaPikudim, the Chumash of remembrance. What are we coming to remember? We're coming to remember where we come from, to trace our lineage back to the Avos, back to our forefathers. And all of these themes come together in one package. This is the Shabbos called HaShabbos HaGibor. Gibor is defined as the Shmona Esrei as V'zoicher Chastei Avos. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind to us and does not harm, does not punish us, is only in the Zuchus of the Avos. The Zuchus of the Avos is something which is the major theme of Chumash Bamidbar, specifically Parshas Bamidbar, which the Parsha that is the Hachana for Matan Torah. And all of this all points in one direction to remind us that when you come to Matan Torah, what precedes Matan Torah is a recognition that Yoim Asher Amarta Lefnei Hashem Elokecha B'Chorev, to know where you come from, to trace your lineage back to the Avos HaKadoshim. Okay, let's go to another short idea. It says in the Medrash that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to give Klal Yisrael the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came with his entire Pamalia Shel Maila, with all of his Malachim. And the Malachim all came in divisions. They appeared before, they were revealed to Klal Yisrael in divisions, which, like what we call the Golem, they were arranged in very specific order. And when Klal Yisrael, they saw the Malachim arranged in a very specific formation, they were jealous. They said, wow, what a beautiful thing. We wish we also can have something called the Golem, where every person can be arranged in formation. Hashem says, you like the Golem of my Malachim? I promise you that I will give you this gift. That you as well, when you will travel in the desert, when you will travel for 40 years in the desert, the 42 Masos, you will also travel in the formation of the Golem, similar, identical to the way the Malachim and Shemayim surround HaKadosh Baruch, when HaKadosh Baruch goes on the Merkava and he travels to Klal Yisrael. So the question over here is, what is the significance? What exactly did Klal Yisrael want? Why were they jealous of the Malachim? And what indeed is the greater significance of having the Golem in Klal Yisrael? So there's a very simple idea which comes to light. The Golem come from the Malachim. We don't know very much about Malachim. Malachim is something which is mystical, it's beyond our grasp, something which is very mysterious. But there are a few bits and pieces that we learn about Malachim scattered throughout Chazal. And the most basic thing we learn about Malachim, going back to Chumash Bereishis in the time of Avraham Avinu, is that one Malach does not have more than one job. When the Malachim, three Malachim came to visit Avraham Avinu, so each one had a very specific job. One Malach was to heal Avram, one Malach was to be Megala to Sarah that she will have a child in a year from now, and one was to destroy Saddam. Everyone, why couldn't there be one Malach? One Malach, you can save money, only hire one messenger to do all three. The answer is, that's not the way things are. That's not the way things are arranged in Shemayim. Every Malach has a very specific job. When Klal Yisrael has a mission, everyone has a very mission. When Klal Yisrael saw, at the time of Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu come with a whole host of Malachim arranged in a very specific order, what impressed upon them is, you can have millions, trillions of people, it's not people, of creatures. You could have an unlimited number of creatures, and yet every single one of them has a very specific task. A person can be misled to believe that when you reach a certain critical number, the individual is no longer important. as long as the job gets done. On Klal Yisrael, maybe there were only 12 Shvatim, so each member of Klal Yisrael was significant, was important. When Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim, there were 70 people. Okay, so everyone, there's 70 people. 70 people, and you can say every single person has a very important role. But when you come to a point when you have 600,000 people, and when you include women and children, there are 3 million people, it's very hard to have faith that every single person is really unique. If I'm not going to do my job, there are a million people out there that would love to have my job in 1 second. So what purpose do I really serve in this world? You lose your identity. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came with a lot more than 600,000 malachim. There was an infinite number of malachim that came to Klal Yisrael, and each one was arranged in a very specific, precise formation, which impressed upon Klal Yisrael the concept, the idea, that even when you have an infinite number of creatures, every single creature has its unique role. Its unique role. That is the message of the Degolim. Degolim means every single soldier, every single creature has a very precise location. And when you combine that fact with the location, with the concept of a malach, which we know as a fact, ain shnei malachim, the two malachim do not do the same mission. Everyone has a different mission, and there are an infinite number of them, and everyone is arranged in a specific location. This combination reinforces the understanding that everyone has a mission. And when Klal Yisrael saw this, they had Chalisha Sadas. It can't be 600,000 people, everyone has a mission to do. I mean, how many missions can there be already among Klal Yisrael? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're making a big mistake. That's not so. Every single person who comes into this world has a tafkid, has a very specific mission. And that mission cannot be accomplished by any other person. Even if you'll think they'll do it better, but it's not you. Sometimes people can do things better, but even though they do it better, it lacks the flavor that you bring to the table in your unique way. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Klal Yisrael with giving them the Golem. You're going to be like the Malachim, you're going to have a Mokim, a place, a location, and you're like a Malach, we're unique, everyone has their Tafkid. And this is the Hakdama to Matan Torah. And Matan Torah, when it comes, we say every single day in davening, V'sein Chelkenu B'Soyro Secha. Every single person is mevakesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu multiple times in davening that you should have your portion. What do you mean your portion? My chiddush, the chiddush that I'm going to think of, can it really be that no one else thought of this idea, this concept? The answer is, whatever it means, is the answer is no. The way you think, your understanding of a sugya, of a concept in halacha, that is absolutely correct. There can be billions of people out there. Every single person is unique. The same chalkenu b'sarasecha. Every single member of Klal Yisrael makes the statement. No one should think that, what do I have to learn? What difference does it make? No, it's not so. There is your chelik, an understanding of Torah, k'shem shepartzufei menem shavos, kach deosem menem shavos. The same way no two people look alike, so too there are no two people who think alike. And when it comes to understanding Torah, every single person contributes to the Kiddush Hashem of learning and studying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. This is the Hagdama to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another idea that we make reference to the key concept of the Golem and Matan Torah. Every single day we recite the Bracha of Ahava Rabba. The Bracha of Ahava Rabba begins, 90% of it, it's all related to the study of Torah. That's what we're trying to do. Ahava Rabba, Avtar Hashem Elokeinu, Chemula Gedoyla V'Seiro Chamalt Oleinu. You've been very gracious and very compassionate by giving us the Torah. And then we go on to a very passionate plea of Yidu Malkeinu, Bavu Avaseinu, grant us Siyata D'Shmaya, to learn and study Torah. And we have here many, many different expressions. We have okay? And then we go further. And we go further. When we achieve success in the study of Torah, we will be very happy. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, we begin to describe, to discuss kibbutz galuyos. V'arienu l'sholoi me'arba kanfos aretz. V'solichenu komemilos li'artzenu ki kel poel yishuasato v'anuchan v'kolam l'shol. What in the world does kibbutz galuyos have to do with the bracha, the bakasha of Talmud Torah? What in the world? My inyan shmita eitzel harsin. Every single day we say this, we're grouping together two concepts which seemingly have nothing to do one with the other. Right? A whole a beautiful, eloquent bakasha for Torah, and then all of a sudden, v'aveinu l'shalom, all of a sudden we're shifting gears and going into a theme of kibbutz galuyos. So the simple answer, which almost everyone gives, is that avira de eretz yisrael machkin. The gold of the land is good. You cannot compare the study of Torah in Chutz Liaretz to the study of Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machin. If only Klal Yisrael would be in Eretz Yisrael, there would be kibbutz galuyos. Then there's no question about it. The caliber, the degree of Jewish education would rise to a level that is beyond our understanding. It's only because we are sunk in galus, and in galus there's a darkness, there is a chalishas, there's a weakness of the mind, and we don't have the same siyat d'shmaya, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring us to Eretz Yisrael. There's no question the kedushas ha'aretz will enhance our siyat d'shmaya to succeed in harbatz astar. This is the very common answer. That's the very common answer. That's not true. You go to Eretz Yisrael today, you say there's no question about it, that's what the action is. There's no question about it. You go to Eretz Yisrael, you see firsthand the learning of Torah there. It's in a different caliber. There's no question, it's just very, very different. It's a different type of learning in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, but I saw something very interesting. And so I think if not mistaken, I saw the main thrust of the idea from Rabbi Shur in Halakach V'Halivuv. And he says something very interesting about tzitzis. He says that tzitzis, we have the middle, when we say v'avienu l'sholom mi'arba kanfas aretz, we have the custom to gather the tzitzis. That's the minhag Yisrael. When you come to these words, you're supposed to take the four tzitzis of your talis, talis gadol or talis katan, bring it together in front of you, and prepare yourself for kriya shma shma Yisrael, so you can kiss them when you come to the appropriate places in the kriya shma. Rabbi Shur says that gathering together the four tzitzis in essence represents the concept of degolim, because there are four corners, and in the parasha there are four degolim. Klal Yisrael was divided, there are 12 shvatim, each group of three shvatim was grouped together under one flag. The flags were Dan, Adir is Ephraim, Dalet is Dan, Yud is Yehuda, and Reish is Reuven, right? Reuven. Okay, Adir. That's why we say on Yom Tov, Adir Adirenu. Adir Adirenu, it's the Degolim. Adir Adirenu, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we see the Degolim. Adir, so Klal Yisrael is grouped. We have four corners to our garment. Each one of the tzitzis is divided into three parts. There is two parts called The degel, what do you mean was Yosef?
The degel was from Yosef, Menashe and Ephraim, or under the degel of Yosef. The Melod
is not listed. Yeah, that's not described in the Chumash.
No, but that's what the Mepharshim tells you. Yeah.
Okay, whatever it is, because that's not the point of it. But we are four degolim, and each one of the tzitzis has three parts. There's two parts gedil. Another way, one part gedil, it means one part, you have all the knots, the tzitz, and two-thirds of the tzitzis are the loose strings, are the psil. Two-thirds of each of the tzitzis are the loose strings that are hanging out, and one-third of the tzitzis is the part that's stitched together, that's knotted, and the strings go to wrap around. So in each one of the tzitzis, you really have three parts. Those three parts represent the three shvatim. And those three shvatim appear, you have four sets of the three shvatim appearing on the four corners. So when we recite V'havienu l'shalom me'arba kanfois haaretz v'solichenu kamamios li'artzenu. Not only are we making preparation for kriyashma by taking the tzitzis, gathering the tzitzis that we need for the kriyashma to kiss the tzitzis. Not only are we alluding to the concept of kibbutz galius, but kibbutz galius represents the masos. When we find ourselves b'zman hazeh in galus, we're traveling through galus. This is all hinted to in Parshas Maaseh of the Masos. When Klal Yisrael traveled 40 years in the desert, they traveled in a configuration of the digolim. So when we are coming together to travel, to reach Yerushalayim, it parallels Klal Yisrael's journey in the Midbar as they travel to reach their destination of Eretz Yisrael. And just like in the desert they travel in the formation of the Degolim, we allude to the Degolim by gathering the tzitzis. Because the tzitzis appear on the four corners of the garment. The four corners represent the four Degolim, and each of the Degolim has within it one complete set of tzitzis. And each set of tzitzis in Halacha is defined as being part three parts. Two parts psil, one part gedil. So by taking it together, when we come to the study of Torah, we are alluding to the concept of digolim. So that now opens up a whole new dimension in understanding why v'havienu l'sholom me'arba kanfos aretz is included in the brach of Birchas HaTorah of Ahava Rabbah. Goes back to what we just said before. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came at Har Sinai to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, the heaven was opened and Klal Yisrael saw, they witnessed the Malachim. They witnessed the Malachim. They witnessed to you that every single Malach, it has a role. The essence of a Malach is it has a unique mission, has a unique Mokoim, a Mokoim and a mission. A Malach's essence is a mission. And they saw not only was there a mission, each one had a Mokoim. And an infinite number of Malachim, they had their Mokoim. The Mesh Klal Yisrael, we also want to have a mission and a Mokoim. Hashem says, I promise you, I'll give you the Golem. I'll give you the Golem. And this was the message that was taught to Klal Yisrael at the time of Matan Torah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to give us the Torah. So now, when we are mispalel for siyata d'shmaya in the study, the accomplishment of learning and mekayim the Torah, we recite the bracha of Ahava Rabbah, and we come to v'havienu l'sholom mi'arba kanfos aretz. It's very appropriate we travel. May you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring us to Eretz Yisrael. How are you going to bring us to Eretz Yisrael? You're going to bring us through the Degolim. Just like our forefathers, they went to Eretz Yisrael in the Midbar, they traveled through the Degolim. And that Degolim was the gift of Matan Torah of, like we just said before, the same Chelkeinu B'Sarasecha. A person should not make a mistake and think that when he's now about to learn Torah, and he's mispalel for Torah, it doesn't make a difference. My contribution is irrelevant because there are so many people out there who are learning Torah. No, you have to focus. You have to dwell upon the concept of the Degolim, which represents every person is unique and no one person can be replaced with someone else. This is a necessary prerequisite in order to have success, and when you come to Mimavakesh Mekadosh Baruch Hu, success in the study of Torah. Okay, let's go to another idea. There's a machlokes in the Sechta Erevin, not in the Bavli, but in the Yerushalmi, as to the configuration of Klal Yisrael as they traveled in the desert. We all know, there's no one that disagrees that when Klal Yisrael rested, when they rested in the desert, so they rested in the configuration of box. Not a box, but in the center was Shevet Levi, and surrounding Shevet Levi were all the four of the Degolim. They surrounded, it was like a circle, or it was we call the teva, a square. However, that was all true and fine when they actually rested and they were not traveling. But when they actually began to travel in the desert, there are two opinions in the Gemara, in Masechta Erevin and Yerushalmi, Perek Daled Halacha Aleph. Did they determine the terms that are used in the Gemara are the terms of Teva versus a Koira? According to one opinion, they traveled as a Teva, just like they encamped in the configuration of a box. Likewise, when they traveled in that exact same configuration. They traveled in the form of a box. The other opinion says no. It's true, when they rested, they were in the form of a box, but when they traveled, it was in a koira, a beam. It was a row. First went this Shevet, this Degel. Then went the second Degel. Then went Shevet Levi. Then went the third Degel. Then went the fourth Degel. They traveled in a straight row, in a column. A column, which the term the Gemara chooses to describe the column, a koira, a beam. So we have over here two different opinions, and we have two very unique expressions that the Gemara chose to describe. A teva versus a koira versus a beam. What is the symbolic significance of the Gemara presenting the machlokes in these two different terms? So I think there's a very, so there are a lot of them, some of the farshim have very different interesting ideas to explain, but I want to suggest an idea. That we, if we study history, we know that the Jewish people in Golos always are living alongside Goyim in the 2,000 years of Golos. There are different tekufos. In some tekufos, we have been forced to live, by and large, a ghetto existence, where the Goyim have forced us into isolation. Most of the time, this style of living was not by choice. The Goyim forced us to separate. We lived alone, isolated, and did our own thing. And then there were tekufos of freedom. French Revolution, when Napoleon, you can go, you're free, you can do whatever you want. Break down the barriers, break down the walls. You can live, or in Spain, in the early times, all depends on different parts of Klal Yisrael, where they lived and what time of period in history they lived, where Klal Yisrael found themselves living among the Goyim. And each type of style of existence, of course, has benefits and has chesronos, advantages and disadvantages. When you live all alone, you're not affected by the influence of the goyim. But when you live all alone, you lack the ability to be an or la'amen, to be a source of inspiration for the world. If you live all alone, you don't have the ability, you lack the ability. The goyim chokhma be'umos tamen. Sometimes there are milos that the goyim have, which when Klal Yisrael finds themselves living amongst them, they're able to take those milos and incorporate those milos into avodas Hashem. But on the other hand, when you're exposed to the goyim, there's a very great danger of assimilation. I mean, that's the fact. And these styles of living are not done by choice, as we said before. Ruba de ruba, it was forced upon us due to circumstances. There are tekufos, there are segments of Klal Yisrael that lived in the open with the Umos Olam, and then there are tekufos in history and segments of Klal Yisrael that lived in isolation, a ghetto life. We can suggest that is what Chazal allude to in the term a teva and a koira. A teva is a box. The commentators are disturbed. Why did the Gemara use the term a teva? The Gemara should have used the term a square. A teva is something which is contained. A teva is a storage device. The Gemara should have used the term that it was a two-dimensional image, a box. They traveled in the desert in the form of a teva. They did not choose the word as a box. They did not choose the word as a meruba. They traveled b'derech meruba, a square. The Gemara chose the term a teva. A teva represents containment. It's symbolic of the ghetto life. A koira, where do we have the term koira used in Chazal? Possibly the most famous use of the word koira is in Masechta Erevin, which is where this Yerushalmi is actually rooted. And what does the Gemara mention with regard to a koira? You have a mavui, and you want to carry the mavui on Shabbos. You're not allowed to unless you make an Erevi Chatzer Shtuvimos, and you construct a koira. What is the purpose of the koira? It's a heker. It's something which is noticeable. If I'm walking in the mavui, I see the koira. I see the koira. It's the most public display in order to serve as a reminder, don't walk past this barrier. The question is, when Klal Yisrael travels in Golos, the Masois of the Midbar that we learn about here in Bamidbar, in Chumash Bamidbar, which in the end really Parashas Masa, but here we learn the Golem. This the 42 Masos was a Maisa of Osim Labanim, was all a Hachana for Klal Yisrael, what's going to be their travels in Golos. Klal Yisrael, as they will travel among the Umos Ha'olam in the long Golos until the coming of Mashiach. How will Klal Yisrael travel? How will they travel in Golos? Will they travel b'derech, the tzur of a teva, will they exist until Mashiach comes in their journey to Yemos HaMashiach in a box, in the ghetto life? Or will their journey into the time of Geula be like a koira? It'll be Bifar Hesia for all the world to see. The world will learn from Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael will take the milus that the Umos own have to offer and incorporate it into Avodas Hashem. It will be, so it's true, this Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. When Klal Yisrael traveled in the Midbar, when they encamped, it was Bederech, when they encamped, that was in a square. When they traveled, it's a machloikis, how they traveled. Maisa Avay Simin Labanim, when Klal Yisrael would travel in Golis, there are two different mahalchim in how we exist alongside the Umay Sa'olam until the coming of Mashiach. There's a teva mahalach, containment, a ghetto life, and then there is the koira mahalach, we live in the open for the Umay Sa'olam to see. Yeah.
Choose.
I told you that. I said that two times. This is not, we don't choose. I told you that. This style of life has been forced upon us. All right, you do, you know, but to a degree, it's forced upon us due to circumstances. Okay, there is somebody, you want to say the Hasidim today in America. Hasidim today, they live a very sheltered existence. They try to. A shelter existence. And those who are not part of the Hasidish world, they live a more open. There were periods in history where we had no choice. There wasn't a choice. Societies. Okay, in the Hanami. But both of these things are, we find roots, I'm trying to suggest, in this Maimer Chazal, in Yerushalmi, Ervin, Perek Dalet, Halach Aleph, Derech Teva, Kokoira, the Masois of Klal Yisrael. It's alluded to in these two words.
Yourself on some level or not, or just not be afraid to go out there.
Right, so some people have different strokes for different folks. Right, everyone is different. Everyone is different. Everyone has a different. Everyone has a different derech. For his vocabulary. What?
Like would they frown on anybody working?
We're not going to politics now. Let's not go into politics. Let's not go there for now. Okay, let me just share with you another short var. This is just a very simple var. The only reason why this caught my attention is because we learned this in Yirmiyah not so long ago. In this week's parasha, we learned about the counting of Klal Yisrael. There are two different countings. There's the counting for everyone, except for Shevet Levi, and later towards the end of the parasha, there is a special counting just for Shevet Levi. There's a fundamental difference between Klal Yisrael and Shevet Levi. For Klal Yisrael, the counting begins from the age of 20 and above. Later in the parasha, when Hashem says, "Now I want you to count Klal Yisrael, Shevet Levi," they're going to have a different counting. Their counting is going to be Miben Chodesh Shavala. The counting starts from 1 month. So the question is, what is the significance? So this, the only reason why this caught my attention was because one of the first shiurim we had on Sefer Yirmiyah is when Hashem recruits Yirmiyah. And part of recruitment is Hashem says to Yirmiyah, you can't escape. You have been prepared for this mission from the time you were in your, before you were conceived. Being a Navi is not something that you can decide, choose when you're middle age, go for a new career in life, a change, a midlife crisis. You want to go decide you want to go back to college and get a new degree and get refitted for society. To be a Navi, you don't become a Navi because you have a midlife crisis. B'terem et sorucha vabeten yidaticha. To be a prophet, you have to already be selected before you were even conceived. Before you were created, Hashem says to Yirmiyah, this is the first part, Perek Aleph Pasuk Hei, one of the most very powerful yisoid in being a prophet. Before you were conceived, Hashem says, I already knew about you. I already had you in mind. I already set things in motion to prepare you for the mission you will have in leading my people, being a prophet for them during the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. B'terem yidaticha u'b'terem teitzei meirechem hikdashticha Novi Lagoyim Nisaticha, as most of the commentators know, Lagoyim over here refers to Klal Yisrael. Lagoyim refers to Klal Yisrael. I have already designated you as a prophet for my people. So I saw someone say that's exactly the difference to understand this week's parasha. You have to know this pasuk in the area. Because in this week's parasha, we have two countings, the counting for Klal Yisrael and the counting for Sheva Levi. For Klal Yisrael, you can start to be counted when you're 20 years old. 20 years old, that's already most of your, a good part of your life has passed. A good part of your upbringing and your training has already passed, but you're not yet counted. You're not yet defined. Your mission has not yet been defined. You can first begin to define your mission when you're 20 years old. But Shevet Levi, we have to understand, in the time of Chazal, today everyone can be whatever they want, but in the time of Chazal, Shevet Levi were miyuchid to be the teachers, to be the spiritual leaders of Klal Yisrael. If you were not from Shevet Levi, that was not your role in Klal Yisrael. You were workers. You did other things for Klal Yisrael. Shevet Levi was the tribe that was miyuchid to serve in leadership roles and in spiritual roles. And therefore, Hashem says, when it comes to spirituality, you have to be counted already from the time you're 1 month old. Because matters of spirituality take time to develop. It's not easy just on the flip of a switch to have a career change, a lifestyle change. Now, until now, I was doing one thing, and now I'm going to be a Rosh Hashiva. And now I'm going to be a Navi. You want to be a Navi, you want to serve as a, you want to serve as a spiritual leader for Klal Yisrael. What's like what I said to Yirmiyah? B'terem etzorcha yidaticha uv'terem teitzim erechem hikdashticha. And the Musa Haskell is when you want to prepare. So maybe for us, or for adults, it might be too late. But the Musa Haskell is when it comes to the next generation. Many times you have people, they make the mistake and they say, listen, my children, my grandchildren, I'm going, you're going to put them on a path which is not a difficult path. I mean, not a difficult path, but a path which is not a path that will naturally lead them to become to become very, very great in Torah and Avodas Hashem. They'll be very good people, they'll be very big tzaddikim. But in order to achieve the ultimate, it has to start at a very, very young age. An age of Miben Chodesh. Hamoinam, you can start when you're 20 years old. But if you want to be special, if you want to go and nurture and develop, and you have all these different organizations that are trying to create Jewish leaders. So they're starting at a very young age. You have all different colleges, YU. They're taking students, they're identifying students in the early years of college and enrolling them in very special programs that we're going to develop. You're going to develop over the next year. You're going to go for finish graduate, undergrad, graduate, postgraduate. We're going to make you into a leader. Acknowledge, you can't go take a person in middle age, okay, we're now going to make you into a leader. When it comes to spiritual leadership, it's something which has to be nurtured from the very, very get-go, from the very, very start. And this idea you see very beautifully related to in the contrast and the different countings between Klal Yisrael and Shevet Levi, and especially becomes to life when you take the pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyah. He was the exception. He was 40 years old, he did not know the Aleph Beis. And yet he became the father of Torah Shebal Peh. Even Moshe Rabbeinu was not zeichet to understand the depth of his shiurim. And Nachanami Bar Bikiva was obviously the exception. Okay. They were unique. Absolutely, they were unique. They were in a league to themselves.
So when they had the schools of prophets, were all of them designated from birth? How did one get
In Sefer Melachim, we learn about the Bnei Hanaviim. These were schools. These were schools from a very young age where they were trained. They were training to become prophets. It didn't just happen. It's something which required. We have no clue what it's all about. We don't have no idea what prophecy is all about. So obviously, it's something which requires. Okay, let's go to another vart, another short vart. Beginning of the parasha, we begin with the counting. There's a very beautiful Rashi. Rashi says, "Mitoich chibasan lifnei lefanav moine oisam kol sha." Rashi begins this week's parasha by telling us the chiba that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. It's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a very deep love for Klal Yisrael did he choose to continuously count them throughout the Torah. For example, they were counted when they left Mitzrayim, they were counted after the Egel, they were counted They were counted when Hashem, at the time of the Mishkan, and now they're being counted again in the second year. So this is how Rashi begins the parasha by telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael a very great love. The end of the counting, the last one to be counted of the Shvatim is Naphtali. And Naphtali, the expression the Torah uses to begin Naphtali is different than the other Shvatim. With regard to all of the other Shvatim, the Pesukim begin Livnei with a Lamed, Livnei Vinyamin, Livnei God, Livnei Don, Livnei Asher, okay, Livnei Zivulon, Livnei Yisachar, Livnei Yehuda. Every one of the Shvatim begins with the Lamed, Livnei. The only one that does not begin with the Lamed is Naphtali. Bnei Naphtali. Okay, so what the question is, what happened to the Lamed? Why is the Lamed missing? So the truth is, there's a Balaturim. The Balaturim says that Naphtali had more girls than boys. And therefore, in order to allude to the fact that there were many girls, so we did not say Livnei. Livnei has a connotation that we're focusing on the men. By Naphtali, there were more girls. There were more girls by Naphtali, and therefore we leave out the Lamed. Bnei Naphtali, the word Bnei without the Lamed, has a connotation of girls as well. That's what the Balaturim says. Other commentators say something very interesting. This is a very popular idea, is that with regard to Bnei Naphtali, there was really no need to count them. Because since Moshe Rabbeinu already knew the head count, he already knew the full sum, 600,550. Since Moshe already knew, so therefore he knew from the Machzor Shekel, he already knew exactly what the total sum was. So when he does accounting, he's just trying to know the pratim, to know how many people are in every single shevet. Once you already have gone through 11 twelfths, you've already gone through 11 parts, and there's only one part left, all you need to do is make a simple calculation. If the total sum of Klal Yisrael, what?
You didn't count Levi.
Levi, so even without Levi, you're asking Akasha, I don't know the details, the answer, but Mepharshim said he knew, Moshe knew the total sum. It was another counting when he had the total sum already. Everyone says this. So,
the total sum, but the question is, you got to subtract the numbers.
How about Levi? So let's assume Levi, he already counted later on. He was commanded to count Levi separately. I don't know the answer. He didn't count Levi yet? I hear the question.
What's the point? That's his point. How did he know the final number if he didn't count Levi yet?
Okay, I don't know the answer. Okay, let's assume they knew the number of Levi, or let's assume that Moshe had a total number not including Levi. I think that's the answer. I think the answer was that the total sum did not include Levi. Does not include Levi. So being that they knew, Moshe knew the total sum not including Levi, and he knew the 11 Shvatim, not 10 Shvatim, so he already automatically can make a calculation. If this is the total sum, and I only have one more Shevet to count, so I automatically can figure out there's no need for Moshe Rabbeinu to trouble himself to go to every single tent and ask, how many souls are in this home? How many souls? Don't worry, I'm not coming from the government now. You don't have to tell me about all the shenanigans that are going on, how many apartments you're renting out over here that are legal. Moshe did not need to come and go and make all the calculations. Moshe could have just done a simple arithmetic, the subtract the whatever he had until now. So therefore, Enochanam, it was not necessary. But Moshe Rabbeinu did it anyway. And that is why he does not say Livnei. The Lamed is missing. This is what the Mepharshim say. The Lamed is missing with regard to Naphtali, because it was not necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to actually count Naphtali. And therefore, but he counted them anyway. He counted them. Why then did he count them?
Because the love.
Oh, Chiba. Just like it was not necessary to count Klal Yisrael, period, as Rashi says, he counted them as well. So in other words, that means that Naphtali received a double dosage of love. It reminds us of the Mishnah. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tselem. Man is beloved before Hashem in that he has been created in Hashem's image. Chiba Yisera. An additional dosage of love is that it's known and has been made known to man that he's been created in Hashem's image. Naphtali received a double dosage of chiba. Number one, the whole counting wasn't necessary to begin with, of Klal Yisrael. Hashem already counted them last year. Hashem only counted them because Hashem has love for Klal Yisrael. Once Hashem is going to count Klal Yisrael and you get down to the last group, you don't need to count them because we can make the calculation on our own. I'm going to go through the effort of counting them as well. So Naphtali was recipient of a double dosage of love. The question is, why Naphtali? Why was Naphtali more zeicha to love than anyone else? So I think there's a very simple answer. It's a Rashi in Parshas Vayetze. Rashi in Parshas Vayetze describes the birth of Naphtali. And it tells us the reason why he was called Naphtali. Naphtali elokim niftalti machesi dam yocholti. What do those difficult words mean? Rashi, Pasuk Ches. What does it mean, Naftulukim Naftalti? Menachem ben Soruk, Perishu, Bemachberes Tzomid. It means, Bemachberes, comma, Tzomid Pasil. It means a seal. I joined my sister. My sister had many children, and I also wanted to have children. Who is giving birth? Leah is giving birth. Leah over here is jealous that Rachel gave birth to Yosef. So Leah saw that Rachel gave birth. So Leah said, "I also want to have a child." Chiburim me'es hamakom. So Rashi continues to explain chiburim, connections. In other words, what he really means to say over here is, it's an expression of prayer. I joined HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I connected myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in prayer in order that I should merit to have another child like my sister. My sister gave birth to Yosef, that triggered within me a desire to also have another child. At this point in time, things were not going my way, so I connected myself to Hashem in prayer so that I should have another child. Naftulei means to connect. I connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ani mefarshoi, and Rashi says, that's what Menachem says. Rashi does not disagree in principle. Rashi says it means to connect, but he just has a different source for the word. Rashi says, Lashon ikesh ufis saltol. What does it mean? It means like to wrestle. Ike shuvasaltol nisakashti vehiftsarti pitziros vinaftulim harbe lamokom in treatments. It means a similar idea. It means prayer. Liyoy shovel achoisi dam yocholti. I succeeded. Hiskim al yodi. I succeeded. For Unkelis tirgem loshon tefila. Unkelis says it means prayer. Now all of these interpretations are really all part of the same. Whether it's nischabarti, whether it's Rashi, but Unkelis says tefila kolaymar. And here's the point I want to make: bakoshois hachavivois lefanav. The bakoshois, you have to see the Rashi inside to really appreciate what this means, but the bakoshois, my requests, my prayers, that were choviv, that were beloved, same word, that were choviv, lifonov, niskabalti, were accepted, v'nisatarti kachoisi, that were accepted before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi clearly here explains that from all of the shvatim that were born, the one that was born to the Koyach Atzila more so than anyone else was Naphtali. Naphtali, in fact, Naphtali is the Shliach Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. This Midah has channeled down to Naphtali. Naphtali is called the Shliach. Naphtali Ayala Shulucha. Naphtali is the Ayala. The Ayala is the Shliach Tzibur of all of the animals. Naphtali is the Shliach Tzibur. And Rashi here says, the Tzfilos HaChavivos, the beloved prayers, were accepted before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was an intensification of Tzfilah of Chavivos. Nimela, we can suggest, al derech Jush, we see how everything comes full circle. Just as Naphtali, he was born through the koyach of tfilois hachavivois, as Rashi himself says, Mimela mida kneged mida, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to show the chavivos of Klal Yisrael, through counting Klal Yisrael, the one that received the double dosage of chavivos was Naftali. Chibo yisera that Hashem counted Klal Yisrael to begin with. But when he came to the end of the counting, the one that had to be last, that was not even necessary to be counted, that received a double dose of chibo, was Naftali. Why was he singled out? Because Naftali's essence, his existence itself, came about through, as Rashi says, the tzvilois hachavivas. Okay, let me conclude with one last vart for Shavuos, short last vart. At the end of the parasha, we learn about the masos, and we learn how all of the kelim of the mikdash were taken apart. They were taken apart. They were put on wagons, and as they were put on wagons, they were covered. Not just one cover; they were covered doubly. But there's a difference in how the Aron was covered relative to how all of the other kelim were covered. With regard to all of the kelim, it says in the pasuk, they first spread a sheet of techeles. And on top of the sheet of techeles, they spread a cover of tachash, of this unusual creature, this creature called the saskoina, a very unusual, which we used to cover the Mishkan. There was a garment of tachash that was used to cover the shulchan, the mizbeach, the krashim, that went on top. The only one that had a different seder was the oroin. When the Aron was transported, it was put on a wagon, it was covered first with tachash, and on top of the tachash, it was covered with techeles. So the question all the commentators ask is, what's the difference? Why, if every single utensil had a requirement that it be doubly covered, why is the covering, the order of the cover different, covering is different for the Aron than it was for all of the other kelim? And there are many answers. Simple answer is, there are many answers. I want to leave you with one machshav, with one thought. Tachash in the Targum was translated as soskoina. Soskoina is, it means that it was a multicolored hide of an animal. Chazal said that this creature, which produced the tachash, this tachash, was lefisha. It only existed in that generation. It did not exist before, did not exist after. It appeared in the Midbar, so Klal Yisrael can use it for the purpose of the Mishkan, and after they completed constructing the Mishkan, this creature, it disappeared. It disappeared, went extinct, never to reappear again. Soskoin, it only existed. All of the kelim of the Mishkan, when they traveled in the Midbar, when you were viewing the kelim, what did you see? When you saw the Mishkan, what did you see? You saw tachash. Tachash, tachash, tachash. Underneath it was tcheles, but it was tachash. When you saw the Aroin, you didn't see tachash. You saw tcheles. You saw tcheles. Tachash represents the symbolic of lefisha. It only existed at that time. The Mishkan was only there for 40 years. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, there was Shiloh. They already replaced the Mishkan. There was Gilgal for 14 years. There was Shiloh. The Kalim of the Mikdash, what they represent, it's Lefi Shah. Shulchan represents Oysher. Represents. Not every generation was Klal Yisrael Zoyche to Oysher. Not every tkuf in a person's life does he have Oysher. When a person, during every stage in a person's life, he has different degrees of Parnasa. You have the Ketores, the Shulchan, the Karbonos. Not every tkuf in Klal Yisrael did we have Karbonos. Karbonos represents Mesiras Nefesh. It's not ideal. It's not necessarily ideal for a person to give up his life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ketores, you can go through every single one of the Kalim. If you look at it, bird's eye view, you have to recognize Lefi Shah. Not everything do we have, but there's one thing that we have an absence of Lefi Shah, and that is the Torah. The Torah is not covered. The Torah is not covered on the outside with the Tachash. The Torah is covered with Tcheles. Tcheles relative to Tachash, and we don't have Tcheles today. I know that's only due to a technicality. But it's not due to it. Tcheles is something which is meant to exist for all generations. The Musa Haskell is the Torah is something that's always here. That generation, this generation, next generation, that's the Yom Tov of Shavuos. On the other Moadim, we celebrate Nani HaKavod, we celebrate the Nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim. All of these elements were Lefi Shah. Lefi Shah, we commemorate, we learn the lessons, we apply it to our lives. But it's Lefi Torah. The Yom Tov of Shavuos, it is the most practical, it is the most relevant, it is the most enduring, it is the most real chelek that exists. When they traveled in the Midbar, the Torah stood out. Everything else may be Lefi Shah. It depends on the tekufa. It depends what you take out of it. But Torah, there's no Lefi Shah. The tzura of Torah is Tcheles. Tcheles Damaliyam, Damal Rokiyah, Yitzhi HaKavod. It's permanent, and that is the Yom Tov of Shavuos. It is the most relevant and real moed in Yadus. Have a wonderful Shabbos, a wonderful Yom Tov. Rit Hashem will be back on Tuesday. We will have Shir on Ishrichag. Okay, Tuesday. Emir Hashem back on Tuesday, 9:30.